Military and political leaders are searching for a resolution on the controversial Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy that prevents gay people from serving openly in the military. President Obama called for a repeal of the law in his State of the Union speech in January. The debate over that policy has prompted some observers to rethink another exclusionary policy in the U.S. Armed Forces and ask if it's time to allow women to serve in combat. Catherine Ross is among those who believe it is. She served in the Army Reserves for 8 years, including deployments in Iraq in 2003 and 2004. She explained her position on women in combat in a recent online commentary for the New York Times, and Catherine Ross joins us now from her home in Columbus, Georgia. Welcome to the program, Catherine.
Thank you for having me.
Now, in that commentary, you argued that, quote, the military's policy on barring women from combat doesn't match reality, unquote. What did you mean by that?
Well, I mean, from what I experienced and from what some of my fellow female soldiers experienced, we are already being attached to ground combat units. We're already in combat zones. We're already being engaged in, you know, direct contact with the enemy. So for me, the reality is that females are already in combat. We're already engaged in it. It doesn't match the policy, though, because the policy says, you know, no women in combat.
Well, maybe you can explain that by explaining what you did. You were a civil affairs sergeant in Iraq. What were your duties, and how were they essentially combat duties?
Well, I was part of a four-person team, and my team was attached to an infantry battalion. And right there, we're kind of bending the rules because females, again, are not supposed to be found at the battalion level of a ground combat unit. But we were attached to this battalion, and we went everywhere that they did. My team had to go outside the wire. That's what we say when we have to leave our operating bases and go to, say, a school or a medical facility to conduct an assessment. You know, we had to go outside the wire pretty much every day that we were there. And every day that you leave the wire, you're at risk for IEDs, small arms fires, rocket-propelled grenades. So you face these dangers the same as the infantry did. And I pulled security. I always wanted to be able to pull my own weight. You know, I never wanted to be, you know, like this princess being ferried around. I faced the same risks, you know, and I pulled some of the same duties. When we were at our operating base, I pulled guard just like all the other infantrymen.
So, of course, you were armed and you could have responded if you needed to
exactly.
With your weapon.
Right.
Which essentially feels to you like combat duty, I would say.
Right. I mean, it doesn't encompass all. I mean, I wasn't trained to be an infantryman. That wasn't my job. My job was to deal with civilians. And when a lot of my job was formulated, it was kind of formulated to happen after combat had taken place. But, you know, the way the war is right now, it's not really possible. Everything just kind of happens all at once.
Now, women make up just 14% of the Army. Do you have any idea how many women really are interested in combat positions?
You know, to be honest, I don't know. I've definitely spoken with some women who are interested, and, you know, they feel like there's this opportunity that's being kept from them. I can say for me personally, I wouldn't necessarily be jumping up and down to be an infantryman just because that's not the job that interests me. My interest was more with dealing with civilians. For me, this is an issue of principle. Just the idea that women are being kept from certain jobs just based on the fact that they're women. But I do think that there are definitely women out there. I wouldn't be able to put a number on it, though.
Now, in your piece, you say that you didn't really encounter any problems with your male colleagues. You even had to live in very close quarters with them. But we know that there have been cases of female service members facing harassment, perhaps worse in the field. Mm-hmm. So as the military tries to deal with issues of women in the military in non-combat positions, mm-hmm. providing them with safe circumstances, are they ready to deal with the whole issue and the problems that might arise out of women in combat?
Well, I do think so because, you know, I have to say, I mean, I've worked both in the civilian sector and obviously in the military. And when I was in the Army, I felt like the Army, out of any of the employers I have ever had, the Army was the most concerned with sexual harassment and sexual assault. And they are the only ones who would take the time every couple months we would be briefed on the proper procedures on how to deal with any kind of incident, you know, who we're supposed to report to, all the different options that are available to us. You know, if we were afraid of going directly to our chain of command, you know, we had other options that we could use, like the Inspector General, for instance. I felt like I was very much informed on the issue. It was reassuring to me. And, I mean, I did face some sexual harassment, but it never, you know, I reported it to the chain of command right away before it could get out of hand. And so it was nipped in the bud right away. I mean, it was taken care of. I felt like I was adequately protected. I was protected the way that I should have been protected. So, I mean, I do think that terrible things do happen, absolutely, but it's not necessarily the norm. And I feel like, you know, having a certain amount of media bias towards it kind of gives the impression that females in the Army are nothing but victims. And I just don't think that's the case.
Catherine Ross is a former Army reservist who served in Iraq. You can find a link to her New York Times opinion piece on our website. Just go to npr.org and select Tell Me More from the program page. Thanks for joining us, Catherine.
Thank you very much.